Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Thanks to everyone who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, September 17th, 2018, in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Scooter Lane.
From Austin, Texas, I'm Justin Robert Young.
And awake, I'm Roger Chang, the producer of the show.
Give Roger a break. He only had 3 hours of sleep. He's got two daughters. It's just going to happen, folks. Scooter's back. Nice to hear.
Yes.
Good to see you, Scoots.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here. I'd never left, but...
If you take a peek at the video version of the show, well, no, I meant you called yourself Scooter. You haven't done that in a few years.
I know. That's true. Well, I did it for Justin.
I love it.
Or great that. Justin. If you're taking a peek at the video, you may see that the shelves behind me are a little empty. Even on audio, it might sound a little more roomy than usual. In the middle of the studio move. So by next Monday, we will have a whole new location for me to record from. But that's neither here nor there. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
The Verge reports that Microsoft has completed its tests of whether Windows 10 preview users like being told that Microsoft Edge is better when a user attempts to install Chrome or Firefox. The test results are that Microsoft does not plan to include the warning in the Windows 10 October 28, 2018 update, but will continue to test prompts like this in the future.
Engadget reports that Google has completed its test of whether Chrome M69 preview users like having special subdomains, including www removed from their address bar. The test result is that Google will roll back these changes in M69 on Chrome for desktop and Android and have discussions with standard bodies on the topic. However, Google does intend to hide www in Chrome 70.
If I could summarize those two stories... Big companies try to do things they want to do, find out when people don't like it, maybe they shouldn't do that. All right, let's talk a little more about Mark Benioff pulling off a Jeff Bezos, Justin.
Yeah, a little less frequent, though. Salesforce.com co-founder Mark Benioff and Lynn Benioff have agreed to buy Time Magazine from the Meredith Corporation. Meredith purchased Time Inc. in January and has begun selling off some of its most popular publications, including Sports Illustrated, Money, and Fortune. So Time, not quite the Washington Post, but certainly among the biggest brands in magazine journalism writ large.
Also, it's slightly interesting that the Benioffs are buying Time rather than Fortune, which would have been my guess.
Maybe Fortune costs more. I looked at this and I feel it. Meredith is keeping its profitable brands. Like Good Housekeeping is a brand they have that still makes them money, apparently. So they're holding on to that. Fortune is one where Fortune.com particularly is a very popular website still. I would think that might be one they would keep. So maybe they're still floating it out there, but asking for more because it's doing a little better than Time.
This is a prestige play. This is
for Benioff, you mean.
For Benioff, yeah. To me, Time is a brand that means something. It is something, obviously the Benioffs, certainly not hurting for money, can have it be its own, their own little element of a charity to keep a good brand with good journalism alive in the world. I don't quite see the same.
Hi, this is Matt.
And Sean.
From Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business... whether it's a local operation or a global corporation. Partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Kind of immediate play that you did with Bezos in the Washington Post, where you can bundle it into a Prime subscription or make a deal to do it. Obviously, this is, you know, not, it's not an Amazon company, but there are connections there. This, to me, I think is just money off wanting to keep it alive. He doesn't have any other media holdings, you know, as of now. So maybe he wants to make a play further into that.
Well, and that's worth pointing out. Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post. Amazon didn't buy the Washington Post. But Amazon makes television programs, and they wanted to bundle it in with Prime because, you know, hey, it's Bezos on the top of both. So it starts to feel like there's a lot of Amazon influence. Maybe the reason, to your point, Sarah, that Benioff doesn't want to buy Fortune is he wants to make it very clear that this is a Benioff and Benioff enterprise, not a Salesforce thing.
Who will be Time's next person of the year?
Mark and Lynn Benioff.
Congratulations.
If that's true, hats off to you, Benioff.
I'm telling you, man, if I'm the Time editorial staff, I'm like, thank you for saving our jobs. You are definitely people of the year. No, but I'm sure that their editorial integrity will prevent that. But yeah, it's interesting. You know, I saw a couple of headlines that are like Mark Benioff and his wife. And I'm like, well, that's not fair to Lynn Benioff. She should be identified by herself. She is a person, not just defined by Mark Benioff. But then when I went to find out her title, she's kind of secretive and just does a lot of charity work. So other than calling her Lynn Benioff, I'm very curious what she actually does behind the scenes. I didn't have enough time to dig further into it.
Kakao announced it will shut down image sharing social network Path. Remember Path? I knew it well. October 18th, it's over. Users have until then to download their data. The apps will be removed from the Google Play and Apple App Stores on October 1st.
Man.
Mixed feelings about this.
Well, it's funny. I do have fond memories of Path. I did enjoy my time with it. I think a lot of the narrative that I saw around this story today was looking at the times in which Path could have sold for a lot of money and not sell. And now they...
They did sell to Kakao 3 years ago.
They did sell
Kakao, which makes Kakao talk. So they finally did, but yeah, they probably played out the clock.
But there was a time when Path was seemingly worth a lot more.
Debates about whether Path could supplant Facebook back when Facebook was much smaller and Path was much bigger.
Well, the thing about Path for anybody who hasn't used it or hasn't in a while is the premise was really cool. It was social networks aren't about amassing followers. They're about curating a small group of people and really being more yourself.
I feel like they would be better launching now, don't you think?
Well, I do think that they had the right idea and the wrong application, because if you've seen Snapchat, the idea was, no, you don't need to go viral. You don't need to necessarily, we're not even going to tell you how many followers you have. We're just going to give you this weird score that is a calculation of it. The difference is that Snapchat gave us this video sharing and messaging a solution, and Kakao gave us a slightly polished, Apple-y looking version of Facebook. And ultimately, we didn't really want that, because we could get all that functionality from a place where we would share it with more people. And, you know, Path could have been something, but I think ultimately, you know, you can, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but maybe that $100 million from Google would have been pretty sweet.
One of my relatives uses Path, or did, to hide from their other relatives and have a secret social network with a couple of their friends, and messaged me today saying, what should I replace Path with? And so, you know, I went through
a bunch of... Good news, Tom's relative. You have lots of options.
I went through a bunch of different suggestions, but Vero seemed to be the one they wanted to use.
Huh.
So, and I was like, yeah, I haven't heard buzz about Vero since like March, so... That might be a safe place to hide out for now.
Unless the whole Path thing was, I actually loved that app. I haven't used it in some time. I haven't used it since Kakao bought it, but I liked the whole idea. It was perhaps ahead of its time in a way, where I felt like people liked the idea of having a smaller social network, but didn't really know how to intimately work on those levels. And yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
No, there's no more Path.
Goodbye. Path is ended.
IDM girl on DTNS subreddit brought this next story to our attention. It's a CNET story by Sean Hollister clearing up a controversy about Anders G. Da Silva, who's been burning up the clickbait stories. Not Anders' fault, but people have been turning his story into clickbait, claiming Apple removed purchased movies from his library. Now, he definitely had movies removed from his library. That part isn't the clickbait. The clickbait is Apple is unapologetic, and Apple support gave him a couple of free rentals but didn't really solve his problem. Well, it turns out Da Silva had not downloaded the movies, so it wasn't a case of Apple deleting them from his hard drive, which a couple of stories implied. Also, Da Silva had moved from Australia to Canada. The movies that disappeared had been purchased when he still lived in Australia, and it appears that the Australian versions are still available if he changed his region back to Australia. And you may say, well, wait, Canada, Australia, they're both English language. You know, what's the big deal? Why can't Apple make them available in Canada? I bet this is an unforeseen consequences situation, because movies are edited and produced differently in different countries to meet the standards of those countries. So, yeah, they're both in English, but in Australia, maybe you're not allowed to show a thing that's okay to show in Canada, so you have a slightly different edit. Anyway, that seems to be what happened, and I don't think it's Apple doing it on purpose. It's certainly a failure in Apple support not to figure that out for Da Silva, but he should be able to get his purchase movies back.
What a weird story this was, because for whatever reason, it just raised the hackles of physical media purists who wanted a reason to come out and yell about how awesome their Blu-ray collections are and how much we are all moving into a dystopic future where the man can take your movies away if you buy them digitally. Just so strange, like what this brought out in people.
Yeah, well, because there have been a lot of people who have, for whatever reason, a lot of stake in saying you're wrong to trust anyone for cloud movies. And so as soon as one thing happens, they're going to pile on top of it. And this did look bad at first, because Da Silva was like, hey, I don't have these movies. Like, they just disappeared. And he talked to Apple support, and Apple support failed him. They weren't able to identify the problem that Sean Hollister from CNET was able to identify and figure out.
Linux creator Linus Torvalds sent a note to the Linux kernel mailing list apologizing for behavior that may have driven away some developers and saying that he will take a break from working on Linux. Torvalds wrote that he will, quote, get some assistance on how to understand people's emotions and respond appropriately, end quote. He also emphasized that he does want to continue maintaining Linux.
I was not aware that Linus Torvalds was upsetting developers as much as he now believes that he has been doing for years. And the story is a little convoluted. It has to do with travel and, you know, a bad managing of calendars and that sort of thing. But for him to say, listen, I've been,
You got to, it's not about the, there's a whole story about him forgetting to schedule
exactly
around a conference he was supposed to go to. But that's not the problem. The problem is every once in a while, he goes off on people on the public mailing list. And a lot of times people champion him and say, see, he doesn't hold back. He tells them the way it is. But some developers behind the scenes were like, you know, we get it. We know you have a hot temper and you don't mean anything by it, but it's unpleasant. And they finally persuaded him like, hey man, you know, just maybe work on that. Maybe work on your people skills a little because you're driving some otherwise talented developers away from developing Linux. And I've actually been guilty of cheering his rants on in a couple of cases where I'm like, yeah, man, finally, you know, he's the maker of Linux. He gets to say that. But it turns out that, you know, hearing about it once in a while from the outside, not nearly the same as living with it on a day-to-day basis.
Empathy is a lesson that we can all stand to learn more about in an internet age.
You know, I feel what you're feeling there.
Thank you, Tom.
Perhaps you'll feel Apple's iOS 12, which is available now as an over-the-air update, along with a bunch of speed improvements, a lot of improvements, in fact. There are new Animoji characters for the new iPhone models, new camera effects, just to name a few. Apple also originally planned to introduce group FaceTime support in iOS 12, but removed the feature while it was still in beta.
It wasn't quite there.
My iOS 12 update for the iPhone I keep went smoothly, and it's fine. I haven't really noticed anything that crazy out of it, but I haven't spent
how long did it take?
20 minutes or less. I didn't really even pay attention. I went over and pressed the button to install after it downloaded and went back to it a little while later after doing some other things, and it was fine. The watchOS 5 update, on the other hand, was going to take an hour until I remembered the trick that I learned on the SMR podcast, which I think they learned from iMore, which is turn off Bluetooth during a watchOS update, and suddenly your update goes from an hour to 20 minutes because it forces the watch to use Wi-Fi, which is faster. I guess the reason Apple wants to use Bluetooth is because that's easier on your battery. But if you want to get your watch back on your hand faster, there's the trick.
Oh, that's interesting. So it would be, or you know, either Wi-Fi or the radio, right?
It's Bluetooth or Wi-Fi are your options, and if you have both on, it will force it over Bluetooth, which is much slower.
Yeah.
So there you go. Did you update your iOS 12? Anyone else?
I have not. I have not yet. No.
I'm not even bothering until I get my new iPhone on the 21st. Yeah, wow. Nothing is happening in my home with this beat up 7 Plus. We're just limping along.
All right. So you didn't do the early upgrade that we were talking about on Friday?
No.
No. Okay. I didn't either. I was too lazy to do it. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com. All right, the World Economic Forum, they're the folks who bring you Davos. And by you, I mean rich people, not you. Machines and automated software, according to the World Economic Forum report, are going to handle about half of all our workplace tasks within 7 years. Now, previously, the report had a somewhat dim view, saying, yeah, machines and automated software are going to replace a bunch of jobs, and they're going to eliminate more jobs than they create. However, that has now changed. The technologies are now believed to eliminate 75 million jobs by 2022, but create 133 million jobs. According to the report, what they call the fourth industrial revolution will do that. It'll vary by industry, though. And this is where the report gets very clear. It says, look, if you're in mining, there's going to be a lot of jobs lost. If you're in the consumer space, IT, accounting, post offices, going to lose a lot of jobs. Less heavy replacement will happen, and possibly job creation will happen in the professional services. Data analysts, software developers, social media specialists, customer service where you need the human touch, teachers, etc. So they emphasize the need for companies on the one hand to invest in retraining and providing continuing education for their employees. More than half of employees of large companies might need significant retraining in the next 7 years. And they urged governments to create safety nets for those workers in transition from one industry, say mining or IT or accounting, to something else. They say also that these new jobs may not be as secure. They may be more part-time, more freelance jobs. Other studies have kind of been all over the place on this. The 2015 Bank of England report estimated about a loss of 80 million U.S. and 15 million U.K. jobs by 2035. PricewaterhouseCoopers in July predicted it would break even. You'd create as many jobs as you replaced. In December of 2018, McKinsey said the same thing, equal loss in creation by 2030. So it's starting to look like the reports are at least saying it's not going to be devastating. It's not going to be the machines and the automation will come and we'll all be out of jobs. But what we've been saying for a long time on this show, which is it's going to affect some people, not others. You probably will still have jobs to get, but you may need to retrain people in order to give them the skills to get those new jobs that are created.
This kind of seems like a punt to me. Like, because I don't know if the World Economic Forum, as much as they have a pulse, the finger on the pulse of the global business community, whether when you're talking about tremendous disruption in how we do business, whether you can effectively predict that going forward. And yes, it's interesting to see that based on these other studies, there seems to be a herding of where the projections tend to be, and they are not dour, right? They are not talking about a meteor that's going to hit the world economy and create gigantic joblessness. But at the same time, I just feel like this is a little bit more of an unpredictable, wild path that we're going to take over the next 10 to 15 years. And I don't know exactly how much you can put a figure on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not an exact science by any stretch, because we've never seen this exact thing happen. We have to go based on, you know, the previous three industrial revolutions, you know, the computers that came, the steam engine, et cetera. And you're just going around and asking people what they think. Now, these are people who work in the industry, and they probably have a good educated guess, but it's still a guess. This report that we're talking about from the World Economic Forum based its forecast on a survey of senior executives, strategy officers, and human resources specialists at 300 global companies across 20 countries, representing more than 15 million employees. Their economies represent 70% of global GDP. So they're asking the right people. It's just those people probably have a better idea than you or I, but even they could be wrong. It's all a guess. It's based on, well, right now, based on the technologies we're seeing coming in, this is what we're planning for.
Yeah. So let's take this WEF report for what it is and say that, yes, there will be more jobs created. However, with the caveat that there will need to be retraining and there will need to be a concerted effort to create, to make workers who were preparing for one economy be available to the other. Whose job is that? Is that the job of industry? Is that something that government should support by way of tax breaks, or maybe be more proactive and retrain workers for the benefit of a oncoming challenges themselves?
I think it's both. I think you have different roles there, and different philosophical bents are going to think different things about how much government should get involved. But I think everybody who's serious about this thinks that the government probably needs to provide the safety net between industries, right? The mining industry should not be expected to retrain miners for becoming social media specialists. Like, right? There needs to be some kind of plan. Maybe it's a safety net supplemental income. Maybe it's an incentive program for re-education or something like that. That's where politics comes in. That's where, you know, different stripes will say, well, I think spending little money gets you more than spending a lot of money, et cetera. But I think government's role is to say there's going to be people falling out of an industry that shouldn't be responsible for retraining them. We're going to have to wholly transition them from one place to another. I think where industry, it's in their own self-interest to cover it, is where you say, look, we've got a lot of talented people in-house. We're not going to need them as much in accounting anymore, but those skills are transferable into the data analysis section. Let's give them continuing education. Let's give them retraining right now so that we don't miss a beat when that transition happens.
Here's the one other thing that I found interesting, just wrapping up with this, is that it feels like the idea of retirement, of this is the, you're at one company, you get your gold watch, and then that's that, obviously has eroded as we are in even our modern day. But if the idea is, it just kind of snuck in here, oh, by the way, the new jobs might be less secure,
yeah,
and they might be part-time, that it's like, we might be already seeing it. I'm sorry you got fired from the mine. Would you like to drive Uber?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, exactly. That's going to happen a lot.
That's, I mean, it's happening now.
Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. Always a safe place. Submit stories and vote on others at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. And guess who's back? Text message is back from its summer hiatus. So let's check in with Nate Langson about eSIMs.
Cheers, guys. This week, we go pretty deep on the benefits of devices that have eSIMs, or embedded SIM cards. With the announcement of the Apple Watch Series 4, the UK got its second mobile carrier to support the technology. Previously, only one of our many networks actually supported it. So we thought it was about time to take a long look at what needed to change, how the technology works, and what it means for other networks around the world. All that and plenty more available now at techpodcast.uk.
Back, yeah, if you're curious about that whole dual SIM thing that was announced, and the eSIM part of it particularly, definitely check out text message. All right. And then what we're going to do right now is check out mailbag.
We are. This first one comes from Tim. It says, for people like me who suffer from a balance disorder, in Tim's case, it's Meniere's, which I looked up, and I sort of a vertigo thing. I had not heard of this before, Tim. The new Apple Watch Series 4 is a really big deal. Imagine if I fall over, bang my head, nobody else is around, having the watch automatically call the emergency services and give them my location could save lives.
Yeah. Certainly. We were not trying to belittle every use case. I was only saying for myself that I'm not sure that this would be something that I would use, but sounds like it's an essential for somebody like Tim. Thanks for that.
I've actually heard that from a couple of people that are you know, there are more folks that are kind of at risk that aren't elderly that seem very excited by this.
Allison Sheridan got an email from a friend clarifying that the ECG function of the Apple Watch is indeed FDA approved. I made a kind of a crass remark that they specifically said the heart rate and rhythm were FDA approved, but didn't make it clear and maybe implied that the ECG was, and we didn't know whether it was. Well, it is. The upshot of the letter she got is that the watch can be marketed to consumers as an over-the-counter ECG device, but it has not received approval as a medical device. That's true. The heart rate stuff too, I think. Allison found an opinion from someone on Reddit who says they are an emergency physician and said it is not intended for people under the age of 22. It is considered an over-the-counter device and classified as class 2, which is the same class as things like condoms and home pregnancy kits. Your home pregnancy kit, I think, is a great analysis or analogy. It's not the be-all end-all on whether you're pregnant or not. It's a way to check real quickly at home and then seek further advice depending on what it says. Sounds like the ECG is exactly the same thing. And I even made Allison dig up the actual link to the letter on FDA.gov. So hat tip to Allison. Thank you so much for doing that. And we'll have that in our show notes at dailytechnewsshow.com.
You rock, Allison. And thanks also to Tim for the email. And thanks to everybody who sends us emails. And also thanks to Justin Robert Young for being with us this fine Monday. Justin, how was your weekend? And where do we keep up with your work?
Oh, man, it was a great weekend. I actually did a live podcast with the Everything's Coming Up Simpsons podcast with Brian Brushwood and myself, joining the two hosts there, Allie and Julia. So go ahead and look for that coming out soon. But this is the week. We have a huge week in politics. The Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court appointment is now very much in play. Find out everything you need to know in five stories, many gifts, a few hot takes. You can get it at freepoliticalnewsletter.com. It's a free political newsletter, and you get it at freepoliticalnewsletter.com. Just that simple.
Hey, last Friday I asked 10 people to do something, and one of you did. So thank you for that. But we are still 9 people short of the amount of patrons we had last month. So I still need the other 9 of you to head on over to patreon.com/DTNS and sign up. If you can afford $1 a month to support the show, you get all kinds of cool benefits. So please check it out. You'll get a commercial-free version of the show. You'll get a weekly column from me, Roger, and Sarah. You'll get access at higher tiers to things like Slack and Discord. So please, please, please consider supporting the show directly. It helps us. It helps you. You are 90% of the funding of Daily Tech News Show. Head to patreon.com/DTNS.
If you have feedback for us, please email us, feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. You can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
We'll be back tomorrow with Patrick Beja. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.